Praise God. I feel a little lopsided here. It's like, so, all right. Well, you're going to join over this side? Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, before I get started, I do thank you for the prayers. And as we get into God's Word, I'm just going to pray. God, I just ask you, Lord, that you would just help me, Lord, to just be able to share your word and what's going on, Lord. And as we study the book of James, God, as we've gone just verse by verse and just taking it, Lord, we pray that you help us to dive into your word and understand what your brother was sharing to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I do want to say before I get started, Kenny, it's so good to have you and your family. And it's just for those that don't know that I've had the pleasure of knowing him for many years. I moved to Salt Lake City in 94, and we came here and got plugged in with different youth groups. And when I became a youth pastor in 95 over at Mountain View Christian Assembly, this young man right here was a part of the youth group over at Valley Assembly of God. And so that was really cool. And then from there, his pastor, Pastor Wayne Crownover, was the one that, and Louis Franco, were the ones that actually started the school assemblies. Lewis actually was the one that got invited because he was very talented in doing what was known as human videos. He would act out and portray mostly Carmen songs. If you guys remember, the Champion and all those. I mean, he went for it and just did an amazing job acting out these human videos. Well, schools started opening up, and as I got to know Pastor Wayne and got to know his team, we started the school assemblies way back then. And so to see you after all these years is so cool to know that we worked together and did school assemblies way back then, and just to see where it's coming. When Pastor Wayne moved to be a pastor in Idaho, I remember he took me to lunch, not knowing who was going to be the youth pastor following, not knowing. And he said, please, whatever you do, Alfred, don't stop doing the school assemblies. Louis Franco became a youth pastor and moved to other places as well. And it was just one of those things that every youth pastor that came in, I always taught them, okay, this is what we do with school assemblies. And I've always honored that it belonged to Valley Assembly, which is now Life Church. And so I've always honored that, but it worked under them for all these years. And so I'm saying all that just to kind of give you guys a little history as far as the idea of, you know, when I started school assemblies and how we started way back in the day. This guy was amazing what he could do with bricks, you know, and so breaking bricks, and this guy was strong, probably still is under all that right there. And so just the, you know, ability to go. And so guys, I thank you for your prayers on that. As far as we got a phone call from the Jazz Bear, and now he does speak, okay? And so he's a friend of mine. We've been working together for 8 years, 8 or 9 years. And knowing that I do school assemblies and he does school assemblies, so now we're partnering together. So that's another thing that's, you know, coming together as far as working. And we've gone beyond, just to share with you, we've gone beyond just the big school assembly. So we do, that's phase one. We also now go into and we take over an elective class, like a health class, and we'll go for 2 or 3 days, and they'll rotate students while we're there all day long. They'll rotate students in with us, and we're doing, again, whatever the campaign is, anti-alcohol, bullying, cigarettes, whatever the issue may be, and what we're dealing with. So, and sadly enough, right now, a lot of it, again, is suicide and dealing and talking with them. But our third part, and this is something, I don't know if you guys remember, about a year ago, I brought it to your attention how I needed prayer about this. Remember, less than a year ago, I said to you guys, pray for me because there's a possibility I'm developing a 12-week program where I can get into schools and go not only just for the 2 day, 3 days, or the one time assembly, but the ability to go in for 12 weeks and go into a school. Well, this Two River school that we prayed for and two others are now wanting us to go in starting in January to go into the schools for 12 weeks and to kind of basically take over the class. So what we would share in an assembly, we broke it down into 2 days. Now we're breaking it down from 2 days to 12 weeks. And it's like a rite of passage ceremony at the end of it. It's like a ceremony. It's a celebration for these kids. And when we presented this to the city of Roy, and met with the mayor and the chief of police there. And the chief of police said it this way. He goes, "I think we've been doing it all wrong," referring to his unit, and saying, "We've been trying to rehabilitate kids that have never been habilitated." They said, "We're trying to get kids back on the track that have never been on the track. So if we can put them through a 12-week program, and we literally can have a sense of recourse now, we can now go back and say, remember lesson two?" And so working with the city officials and work, so this idea is really taking off. What was last year, I said, "Guys," and I thank you, because God answers your prayers. I've seen that. And so as we prayed, now it was planted, and now it seems like it's coming around full circle as far as ability to get into schools. And now there's other states that are calling to say, "Hey, can you come and speak in our schools too?" So again, I don't know where this is all going, but thank you for all those years and doing that. So, hey, let me continue where we're at. I left you off 2 weeks ago with this question: who do you wake up for? You guys remember that? Who do you wake up for? Every one of us, if we think about what Paul said in Philippians, he says, "If it was up to me, I would rather go to heaven. But because I'm in prison and the pain I'm going through and the issues I'm dealing with," he goes, "I would rather be in heaven. But because of you, I'm still here. And the fact that I'm here for you means I'm going to be determined to help you all the way through that." So I summed it into that idea. Paul was basically saying, when I wake up every morning in this cell, I'm literally waking up for you, not for me. Because if it was up to me, I wouldn't be here. It was actually a choice for him to go to prison. He didn't have to go to prison. He went to prison for preaching the gospel if he would just shut his mouth. But he kept preaching. He kept sharing the good news. So he made that choice, understanding and knowing the suffering and the pain he was going to go through wasn't really for him. Because he was already adamant, "I know where I'm going. I know that there's a heaven waiting for me. I know that God is out there. I know this is just a temporary place for me before I go to where I call home. My home is not Jerusalem. My home is heaven." That's what he's saying. So I wake up. I wake up for you, telling the Philippians. I'm waking up for you. So I left you guys off with that same question. Who do you wake up for? When you wake up, I wake up for my spouse or for my kids. Yes, we understand that. But is there someone possibly that day that you're going to come across that you're going to wake up for? Now, in leaving you with that question, as we dive in into verse 19, remember we go from James chapter 1, the very beginning part of it, when anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God, and we just started taking this all the way down. So we're now going to verse 19. Okay, here we go. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Let me keep reading, because I want to cover just a little bit more, and then we'll finish chapter 1 next week. "Do not merely listen to the word as so to deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do." The last couple of verses I'm going to save for next week. So that's a lot right there. But let's just take it one by one. Verse 19 again. "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." I know we covered this just a little bit, but I'm going over this again. Slow, it says, you have to be quick to listen. Why does he put that in there first? You have to be quick to listen. Because if he says you have to be quick to do this, it's referring to that more likely we're quick to do something else. We got a bad habit of doing something else. So he says, look, if you're going to be quick about doing anything, be quick about this. He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. He's very adamant about that. Be slow to speak, only for the reason that what happens is that we many times, and I've been guilty of this. I'm quick to speak. I don't listen. And someone says something, and I could be quick to just jump right back. When you're growing up in the neighborhood, you got to learn how to be street smart and learn how to snap back when someone says something. You got to be quick wit. You got to be, you know, we understand the terms here. You got to be a little sharper than the person who's maybe putting you down or something. I mean, you got to be quick. But it's not only about that. It's about the issue here, because the next part it says, and then slow to anger. That many times what happens is that we end up not listening to what's going on, and we're quick to give our advice. And when they don't respond to our advice, then we quickly get angry. I don't know. I want you to think about this. Has anybody even skipped the idea of being quick to speak, but being quick to anger? I mean, something happens. Think about our senses. You see something, and you quickly see something, you get angry. You hear something, you get angry. Come on, think about that. You taste something, and it flashes a memory. You get angry. You smell something, right? You get angry. I mean, think about it. Mom, Dad, you come into the house, and you told the kids to throw out the trash, right? And you walk into the house, and that trash has been brewing for a while. And you walk in, and you're like, and then you got quick to get angry. You see, all of our senses would kind of just lead us to go right to anger. But here's teaching us the idea of this. Look, what you need to do, if you want wisdom in everything that you're going to do, you need to be quick to listen. As you listen, you'll be able to comprehend. You'll be able to understand. You'll be able to really, then here's the main part. It isn't just the idea of you comprehending. It's really to the idea of taking your care. Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, cast all your care upon him. Because once you start listening and you're taking on that issue, it's not meant for you to be the savior. You see, what happens many times is we battle what's called the savior's complex. And we talked about that. The savior's complex. The savior's complex is that where we start worrying about everything. We no longer are the warrior for God. We're the worrier for God. And we start worrying about everything. You're quick to listen so you could hear and process what's going on. And then here's the action. You don't speak. The action is, okay, God, I give it to you now. And then you got to be still in the listening mode, because it's quick to listen. Not to the listening of the situation, but the listening to God. What do you have for me to say? Kind of the example that Jesus said. I don't say anything unless it's approved by my Father. I don't do anything unless it's approved by my Father. My Father and I are one. Jesus is saying all that to give us the example of how to live our lives. That we would listen to the situation and then give it to God and then listen. Quick to be listening. God, what do you say about this? God, what do you think about this? God, what should I do about this? And then God gives you the answer, because he says anyone that asks, he'll give you the answer. You seek, you'll find. You knock, the door will be open to you. Draw nigh unto him, he'll draw nigh unto you. God is quick to be there when you present it to him. Then when you listen to what God is saying, and then you speak. And you'll notice when you're giving God's words and God's direction and God's scripture, there's no reason to get angry. We only get angry because they rejected my words. They rejected what I had to say. They rejected, and you're not listening to me. And I get angry. I can't get angry if I share with you God's word and you choose not to listen to it. You didn't offend me. You're directly offending him. Jesus even said that. He says, look, you they like. But if they don't like you, it's because of me. In other words, don't carry that burden of like, oh, they don't like me because of what. No, if you're in me, they don't like you because of me. It's not because of you. You're a nice guy. Alfred, you're a nice guy. Who's not going to like you? But because you stand for me, because you share about my ways and my truth, or the truth, people reject it because they don't want to hear it. They roll their eyes. They act like they're bored. They just don't want to listen. They do whatever they want. They don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Ah, church. Ah, God. Ah, it's like no minister ever preaching the Word of God should ever feel like rejected, because you're not rejecting me. It's rejecting the word that's being shared. Now, if I'm out of context, if I'm preaching heresy, if I'm doing wrong, yeah, believe me, that needs to be corrected. But if we're doing, like, let's say what we're doing, we're going scripture by scripture, or I'm sharing a message that's inspired by God, it's a topical topic I'm just sharing with you about, but I just know God's given it, and you've been able to look at the scriptures like the Bereans did, and you feel like, hey, that's right on. That's exactly what the Word of God says. I guarantee you, God is going to use that. God is going to help you to understand His Word. So, let's read that again and go on from there. You guys with me? Yeah? Only one person? All right, okay. I lost the rest of you. Here we go. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. In other words, this isn't just something just to flash and throw at you, but He's literally saying, please take notes of this. Write this down. Put it up on the mirror. Something. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. But notice what it says here. Human anger. It doesn't say, do not get angry. As a matter of fact, it says, in your anger, do not sin. There's a righteous anger that you and I could rise up and have. I think I've told you this. I got four kids, and my four kids, I tell them all the time. I said, stop fighting with each other. You know, you walk into a room. You know, we talked about some time ago what fills you and drains you, right? What drains me, when I come home from a long day and I walk in the door and all I hear is, stop touching me, get out of my room. Whatever. I'm like, you know, I want to shut that door. So I tell my kids, stop fighting with each other. But I would never tell my kids to stop fighting. Stop being angry. Because I'm basically saying, be lazy the rest of your life then. No, I want them to have a fight in them. But I want them to fight against godly principles. I want them to fight against poverty and injustice. What does God get angry about? He gets angry at sin. If there's going to be an anger in any one of us, let it be what God gets angry about. And do what we can to join with Him and partner with Him. Because, again, let me read what it says here. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. I have to ask you, please be honest with me. How many of you got here today without once looking in a mirror? Okay. How many here say, Alfred, all I have to do is look at a mirror once and I'm fine for the rest of the day? Mirror, the reflection of water, the glass reflection. I just have to look in a mirror once and I'm fine the rest of the day. Okay. And so, how many of you here clearly confess, say to me, every time I have the chance to look in a mirror, I'm going to look in the mirror. Raise your hand. All right. So, I want you to think about that. I mean, think about the scripture, what it's saying here. It says, I want you, and we were talking about anger, and he's talking now about holding on to the word. He goes, if you want to find out how to get a righteous anger in you, I'm not talking about an anger where you're going to start protesting and having signs and doing that. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about your action of day-to-day concern and care for people. You'll see by next week what I'm talking about. That sums it up in chapter 1 here. We're next week. So come next week. Bring a friend. Okay? So I want you to think about this. He's talking about anger, and then he talks about here this righteous anger. He talks about this idea of being able to understand what God, but what happens is he goes, you get the word of God in you, and then you forget. And then you forget. And you get the word of God in you, and then you forget. It's, he goes, it's just like having to look in a mirror all the time. Or you look in a mirror and you forget what you look like, so you have to look at it again. And you look in a mirror and you forget what you look like, and you have to look at it again. Okay, so I got to confess to you, I'm one of those two. I have to look every time. Okay? And I know you're looking. And it's funny, those ones too. You ever just sit and you're sitting in a car in a parking lot, whatever, and you know that that big glass is a reflection, and you're walking, you're walking. You know, oh, okay. So you just keep going, and you're like, oh, you know, doing whatever. And yeah. We all do this. We all clearly look. Why? Because I forgot. I literally just forgot what I look like. I have to look again. Did I do? Oh, yeah, I forget. Do I really forget what I look like? You know, think about it this way. What did I preach about a year and a half ago in August or in July, the third week? She's going to look it up. Don't look it up. No, I want you to think about that. You know, sometimes the idea here, and this is really what he's getting at. He's not getting at the idea that you forgot. We all forget. Well, we're not perfect. We don't have this ability to just hit a computer and boop, it's right there. But think about this. What I shared a year ago, 6 months ago, or anybody else that shared, what is some, you know, outside of myself, who shared just here 4 weeks ago? I don't remember. You don't. But it got you through for that time. Like, what did you eat 2 months ago for breakfast? I have no idea, but it got me through because I'm still here. I don't know what I ate, but it got me through. Here, what Paul's not getting at, the idea that you forget, but what he's trying to get you is that when you forget, clearly dive back into the Word of God again. See, what happens is when we forget, the enemy is quick to be right there to offer another solution. The enemy is quick to say, okay, look, I'm going to give you, you obviously, and he puts guilt on us. Look, you knew better and you still did that. You knew better. You knew better that you shouldn't have done what you did. You shouldn't have said what you said. You knew better. And the enemy's the one that's quick to look at you and say, look at you. Look who you are. Look how horrible you are. Look, you don't deserve this. I'm going to give you another way. And because of guilt, we said, oh, I knew I shouldn't. I can't do this with God. And so therefore, we look in another direction. And the enemy wants to be quick to try to tear us down. And here, Paul's trying to be quick to say, when you forget, just go right back to God again. When you forget, knowing and understanding that God is the one that's going to be there for you if you just keep going to Him, if you keep seeking Him. What James is writing here, he's trying to help us understand what we all battle in human nature. We're humans trying to do our best, trying to strive forward, trying to get the best we can for our families, do the best we can for ourselves. But we realize, remember I said about the Savior's complex, this is so easy. What happens is we many times get so good about what we do that we forget God and we put God aside and we kind of do it on our own. And then just take note. When's the last time you really got angry? When's the last time you got angry? Was that a human anger? Because he says human anger doesn't produce anything righteous. Out of your anger, did something good come out of that? Or was it more regret? Like, ooh, I knew I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Remember we talked about how sometimes our words like are slow motion when we're angry, and it's just leaving our mouth, and we're like, no, come back. I know if they hear that, it's going to mean that it's immediately, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Think about that. So let's keep reading. You guys are very quiet today. Whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Here, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. How do you not forget something? But by repeating and doing it all the time. I read God's word. I'm not just reading God's word or listening or hearing praise music, but I'm literally doing it. This is what James is getting at. It's not just about coming to church. You're not just a Christian because you go to church or your parents are leaders or are ministers or you are deacons or elders or anything else. It's like, no, you're not a Christian for that reason. Oh, we're raised Christian. We're Christians. No, you're not. No one's a Christian in that manner. No one's a Christian in that manner. Well, what is a Christian? Well, according to here, it says here, hearing the word of God and doing the word of God. The Bible says very clearly that you'll be known by your fruit. Not by your attendance. Not by your giving. Not by your position. Not by your name. Not by your title. Not by your entitlement. No, none of that. You're known only for who you are in God by listening to the word of God and then doing it. How am I not going to forget what the word of God says? Because I do it. I attended another church this morning at 10 o'clock. I was there until about 10:40. It broke my heart to see this congregation. They were very liturgical. And most of the people there were, as I looked, just again my observation, were repetitive and as bored as can be. And I know some of you right now, so am I. Okay. It just broke my heart to see that. Because they basically were going because there was a potluck following. But there's also in their foyer, there's signs that we'll not serve alcohol to anyone under 21. This denomination drinks very openly and has their own bar literally behind the thing there. And so, am I going to judge them to say, no, they're not Christians? That's not my place or my position. What broke my heart was that it says someone who listens to the word of God, there's going to be a joy about them. Who not only listens but does the word of God, there's going to be a joy about them. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If I delight myself in the Lord, he gives me the desires of my heart. It's just amazing that why is it then that people that come to church, whether that church, this church, or any other church, that come here and look like they just, man, seriously, been sucking on lemons all day. You know, their faces just always so, they're angry, they're mad. What are you angry about? What's causing you to be angry? If you're going to be angry, let's be angry about something that's going to help somebody. Let's be angry about, well, I'm angry because my mom and dad made me come. Or if I don't go, I'm going to not have lunch with them later. You know, you see what I'm saying? I'm just the idea here. I know a lot of those people. Even one guy I talked to as I was walking out, he said, is it over? Is the food ready? And I was like, no, they're still going. He goes, oh, I'll wait out here. I'm like, okay. The guy was at least honest. Here we go. Let me finish up. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all what they do. I have learned one thing about the Word of God, that God is not a liar. If you want to be blessed in all that you do, it didn't say in some part of what you do, or maybe just whatever part you do. It says here clearly, they will be blessed in what they do. Whatever. Whatever you do, wherever you go, you will be blessed. Why will you be blessed? Because you're listening and you're doing what God has asked you to do. We're going to continue on, and it's going to sum up and make sense. You know, usually when you're putting a puzzle together and you got that one last piece, it's not complete until you put that last piece. To end chapter 1 next week, we will be covering what he's really talking about here. What he's really getting at. He's not really getting at the idea of being angry. He's not really getting at the idea that you forgot. Again. He's getting to a point here. We'll find out next week on that. But let's just recap and take a moment. You know, you said your sermon would have been short. I'm ending mine. Right now, it's going to be short. I can go on and on and on, but guys, I think we chewed on a lot right now. You know, you could have a huge meal and nibble at it, or you could have one big piece of something and be chewing on it forever. I think that's what we just did. We took a big bite at something. Because really here, think about this, what he's talking about. Can I just read the whole thing through and we'll end? It's like, Alfred, you've talked enough. Let's read this again. This is a big bite here. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You know that part right there where it said planted in you? If God is our gardener and our pruner, he understands that there's going to be weeds in our garden that need to be pulled. I've asked this question, I ask it again. Who plants weeds? Well, I mean, they come up every... You pull them and they come right back up. And so is the nature of our life. I mean, the part of the curse of Adam that it's here. It's weeds are like a great picture of sin. If you don't get rid of it, it's just going to keep coming back. If you don't pull it, and here, humbly accept the word planted in you. It's basically saying, if you want to get rid of the weeds, you got to plant this righteousness. You got to get the word of God, the word, the seed in you, and let God be this gardener that's going to pull. But he can't pull without your permission. He can't. He can't get rid of this stuff without you. God, please help us. Help me, God. Continuing, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know, my challenge to you this week in getting into God's word, don't get into God's word because you have to teach a lesson. Or don't get into God's word because you have to preach. Or you, someone questioned you. It says here to intently look into God's word. It's not to answer someone else's question about the Bible. Oh, let me look that up for you. Intently refers to your own personal desire wanting to know more about God. You will learn if you're just studying for a lesson to be taught or you're studying for a to preach or to share a scripture. God, it's the word of God, you're going to get blessed. But you want, we're talking intently. Because it comes from your heart, your desire to know him. To know him, not because I got to preach him, but to know him. And when you know him, you're going to be blessed because you're going to be like him. You're going to want to do what he does. Psalms 37:4, I just said it, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. What does that really mean? Delight yourself in him, and as you know him, your desires now become his desires. I want to do, God, what you want to do, not what I want to do. If I'm going to get angry, it's going to be because this is what you get angry about, not what I get angry about. I want to pursue. He's trying to help. James is trying to help everybody about wisdom. That's chapter 1. Wraps up next week. But would you guys stand with me and we'll bring our worship team and we're just going to allow God to help us and use us and be able to understand, God, what are you doing? Now, can I say this as we're ending here? There's a lot of anger going on right now, especially when it comes to the political scene. When you, it's funny where I've heard over and over on the radio where people are saying, oh, we're getting together for the holidays, but if someone says something about politics, boy, there goes the table. It's just going to, everyone's going to have their opinion. Everyone's going to get angry. Everyone's going to be whatever it may be. I understand we're having our views and our differences and everything in reference to whatever person that you may be choosing or the people that are being. Do you know in Utah there's actually 10 people on the ballot? It's not two. Okay, and there's not only the people, others have just heard of two possible others, and there's 10 people on the ballot for presidents, for the presidency. It's just a crazy time we're living in. Thank you for the, you prayed for our country. We need it right now. Where we find ourselves in a few weeks with whoever becomes president, God will not be surprised. And if God has raised up the time for a Christian movement to go, then it's the time. If a persecution comes in, I want you to think about this. God has done some of his greatest work in all history when a pagan is a leader. So God, what are you doing? There's going to be a revival either way, my friend. The Bible prophesies there's going to be a great awakening. Is it because we're ready to see that movement now being led? Or is it because there's a persecution and it's going to spread and God's going to do some great and awesome things and he's looking for people? Why are we going through this? God is looking for some people to be serious about understanding his word, his ways, who he is, his direction. So let's pray. God, I ask you that you help us as we take a moment to worship your name. That God, we clearly are quick to listen to the situation, to present it to you, to listen to your voice. That's what we're listening for. We'll be slow to speak and slow to anger, but we got to listen. What are you saying to us? Those that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. God, my ears are focused on you. My tongue is focused on you. I want to love you. I don't want to just sing about you. I want to sing to you, God. I love you, Lord. And help me share this with everyone. Let's worship and then we'll close in prayer.